Joe Stazak on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Speaking of something, my man, he's my podcast partner. He's the great Steve Callis. He's on 97.5, The Fanatic, and the Comcast Business Hotline right now. What's up, Steven?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you as always.
All good, huh? Really? Really all good? Buddy, I mean, again, I had trouble describing this out of the gate because I didn't think there were words that were, apt enough to describe the level of this game and how far down it was. What were your thoughts?
Well, I think if anyone, you know how the offensive line, even more so than the defensive line, is always ignored. Nobody talks about them. They're always talking about the skilled players, the quarterback, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
If you ever want to know what happens when your offensive line is injured or you're starting two guys for the first time ever in NFL games on the right side and every play looks like a jailbreak, this is the game to put in. You got to focus on those kinds of things, which frankly people just don't focus on. And then the Eagles get out to a 17-0 lead, even though I thought Washington was putting incredible pressure, right, with a couple of sacks early.
Yeah.
It was like the game was over. And it's the NFL. The game was not over. And it's very disappointing because I don't think Washington is very good. They're good up front, but they look, you know, they looked great up front because I thought of the weakness of the Philly line through injury, inexperience, whatever you want to say. But there was one or two guys in the backfield immediately on virtually, not every play, but virtually every play. It was like unbelievable 8 sacks. And you know, it's a real feel thing. You would hope Carson Wentz would have that by now, but it's a real feel thing. Sometimes you got to just take a sack.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to just go down to dance around with 3 or 4 guys, and Chase Young forced the fumble, but Kelsey recovered that one time, for example. I don't know. It's just terrible, but they better get healthy quick, because if they don't, because Washington is not a good team.
No.
Haskins played well in the second half.
He did.
Give him credit.
Yeah.
But they're not a good team. You know, and I thought, as you know, before the season we talked about it, that the Giants would be bad, Washington would be bad, and once again it would be Philly and Dallas. And after watching this game, I think Dallas is tied now with the Rams on
tied.
The road.
Yeah, they are.
You know, it looks like one team above the other three.
Yep.
Again, it's the old, it's the first game, Joe, and you don't want to overreact, but that's a terrible loss. I don't think there's any other way to paint it.
The offensive line was horrible, and the front seven of the Skins, you know, they exploited it. They were in Carson Wentz's grill all day long.
Yeah.
He started the game off really well. He was sharp. He made some spectacular throws, and he was sacked 3 times in the first 12 minutes, and it became a problem with the pressure they were giving up. Do you think that had anything to do with maybe him having happy feet back there? Even, you know, perceived pressure, even when there wasn't any, he was overthrowing guys, he was throwing balls in the ground. He seemed to unravel after, you know, the first 20 minutes.
Well, this goes back a little bit to my theory, which is this would be damaging to a lot of people with no exhibition games. And I know everyone will call you and say, oh, they only play a half or three quarters of one game, which is true. But I think that half or three quarters of one game, I think many guys have been hurt by the fact that they're not playing. Is Carson Wentz one of them? The answer is maybe. I don't know for sure, but you're right. It's at points he looked like, you know, a rookie, frankly.
Yep.
And he was almost the MVP. We always keep going back to that year. But my goodness, I'll say it again, you got to know when to take a sack. There's no point trying to dodge 4 different guys because you're either going to fumble or get hammered. You can go down, or more importantly, on the one where he turned like a chip shot field goal, and by a chip shot field goal, I mean under 40 yards.
Yeah.
He turned it into a 53-yard field goal.
Yep.
You got to get rid of the ball.
Yep.
You got to throw it away. You want to throw it away first, and then maybe take a sack second. You want to make the throws that all these great quarterbacks make, that Carson Wentz can make under pressure, but it's such a feel thing. It's such a skill. And frankly, all these years in, I just don't know if he has that or not. And again, it might just be the first game. I never really was in a situation where I was rushed. You can play all the scrimmages you want between your guys and, you know, your defense and your offense, but it's not the same. And I really think, again, even though he would have only played a half, 3 series, whatever, the first time all these guys are getting hit, it's the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a game. And I think that's a problem. I mean, I don't understand. I understand the players didn't want to do it. Maybe fear of injury, maybe fear of COVID. I get that. But I think, frankly, the entire league, and we saw a lot of sloppy play today, I think the entire league has suffered because of that. And maybe you could just say, I can't say give them a pass on this loss because it's horrific, but give the players a pass and see where they are next week and the week after, because that was their exhibition game today, essentially, even though it was for real.
This had no effect on the outcome, but you have to look at it and scratch your head a little bit. Like, I get the idea behind it, but their second round pick wasn't even active, and that was a draft this past April or May, whenever it was, that they needed to draft impact players right away because they haven't in the last few years. I go over it all the time, and it sets them back, and then they have to go out and scramble for free agents and trades. This team doesn't draft well. Their second-round pick wasn't active today.
Well, I think there might be a lot more than we know about that, but the first thing is maybe Hurts wasn't in the position to know how to run the team.
Oh, he probably wasn't.
As well as Nate Sudfeld, because right. He's already been there, and maybe that would be their excuse. But the other thing I recall around draft time, I thought there was some talk on draft day and then even later about maybe the Eagles would have a package for Jalen Hurts. Maybe he could come in and be almost like a wildcat guy who could throw the ball. But remember, Jalen Hurts came out and strongly said, I'm not here to be a running back. I'm here to be a quarterback. And I don't know if the Eagles drafted him 100% to be a quarterback. Not that he's going to go play another position, but if you put him in the shotgun, maybe he'll run it a lot. Maybe he won't. He certainly can throw it. And I think maybe there's some, again, got no inside info, but maybe there's some kind of disconnect there because all he wants to do is be a quarterback. And as you know, that's hampered African-American quarterbacks for decades. Including the many that were made to, frankly, change positions 30 years ago. So I think there might be a deeper problem than we know, but I have to think they felt, Sudfeld at least understands what they're doing all the time, and I don't know if you can expect a rookie in a COVID year, frankly, don't ever forget that, in a COVID year who couldn't take a snap in the preseason. Why? Because there was no preseason. I'm not trying to badmouth Jalen Hurts in any way, but all of these rookies didn't have what every other rookie had in the history of the NFL, that is an ability to get on the field 1, 2, 3 exhibition games, maybe even 4 if you're good. And he didn't get that opportunity. And a lot of other guys didn't get that opportunity either, of course.
Brother, we have 30 seconds left. How do they right this ship? And what'd you think of Doug Peterson and how he adjusted or didn't adjust today?
Well, it's the old, they have to get healthy. I don't know if there was a whole lot Doug Peterson could do. You know, Rager fumbled the first time right on the punt, but then he caught the 55-yard pass. Then he actually got overthrown, which is hard to overthrow speedsters.
Right.
So maybe he is a weapon. At least he can stretch the field. He proved that today. And maybe they're going to have to take more shots down the field. But I think the most important thing is if you don't get your offensive line healthy, it's going to be a jailbreak every week.
All right, Stephen, appreciate it. All your time as usual, bud. We'll catch you this week. We'll do our podcast on Friday. We'll rock and roll, and you know we'll continue to cover this team as tough as it might be. We'll see. It's only one game, but they didn't look too good today. Appreciate it, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Highline always has some interesting things to say.
Joe Stazak on 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Here's my man. His birthday is tomorrow, so wish him a happy birthday, maybe on Facebook or Twitter. He is the legendary Don Tollefson. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tolly, what's up, man?
Hey, I tell you this. Overreaction Monday will be starting in 2 hours and 19 minutes, man. As soon as my birthday kicks in, Overreaction Monday will. But, Joe, great show tonight.
Thanks, bud.
And I really appreciate your willingness to, you know, respect the callers, let them say what they may. The last caller, I think, his use of anybody else, I mean, it's a little bit over the top. But
right?
Carson Wentz frustrates me so much. And I know you don't have a lot of time. I'll just give you a sequence that I think summarizes his up and down roller coaster performances after the great start today. What preceded the field goal miss after Washington had come storming back is a first down overthrown pass, and they're in good field position. Then a second down, Scott gets a little bit more than he should have, broke a tackle, so they have a manageable third. And then there's one thing you cannot do there, even though it wasn't out of field goal range. You get sacked, you don't get rid of the ball, you make it a longer field goal, and Elliott misses it and on. And that's just, Carson Wentz can frustrate us so much. But to me, the biggest takeaway today, and you and I talked about this way back when, there were a lot of people who said the Eagles have this enormous advantage because they have a coach, the only team in the division that has a coach who had the team the previous year. And there's no preseason games, and training camp is not really a big deal, a big teaching moment. Ron Rivera can coach.
Yes, he can.
He's a dear friend of mine. We're praying for
right?
him
awesome.
With his cancer.
Yeah,
I really got to know him and Stephanie, his wife. Two great kids. She was a college basketball player while he was a football star at Cal and all. But as I watched Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio, you know, much like Vigneault with the Flyers,
right.
not afraid to hire a guy as an assistant who's been a, head,
been a
coach.
Head coach. Yeah,
and they made adjustments, man, and. The same thing, the Cowboys may lose to the Rams, hopefully tonight for us Eagles fans, but Mike McCarthy or Jason Garrett, Ron Rivera or Jay Gruden, you know, we don't know about Lansdale Catholics Joe Judge up in New York
right,
yet,
sure.
but the pedigree of two guys who have been to the Super Bowl, that really came through to me today. And I just have one other comment, and maybe you have one or two questions, time
sure.
for that, but...
Yeah.
I don't think Haskins will do very well as an NFL quarterback.
I understand. I said that earlier.
I understand he won the game, but there were two things today that stood out. He has been saying ever since Alex Smith had the miraculous life-saving comeback from his leg injury, almost died. He has consistently said he will never, ever not help you. He will help you no matter what, even though he's backing you up.
Right.
And I think that helps Haskins a lot. But you know the moment that I was most impressed with him leading their comeback? When the Redskins came storming back, there was a moment on the sidelines, and Fox had a great shot of it, where he's really, really working up the defense. You know, he's like, guys, I got this for you. I got this for you. You know, get me some stops. Man, I'll get points, man. I got this for you. And I really was impressed by that kind of leadership. Having said that, again, I don't think he's going to be a top tier NFL quarterback unless something dramatically changes in his career. But he was good enough today to win because Ron Rivera, to paraphrase our old friend, he's probably going to win 8 Super Bowls in a row based on the other night, but he put Haskins and the team, the Washington football team, he put them in a position to win. And they did.
Yes, he did. And my dad pointed out, and I'm watching Ron Rivera, again, first game, didn't have much of a camp, no OTAs, or at least Zoom OTAs. He's got the cancer thing going. They come back from 17, and then they start rolling, then they go up 10, and he's just kind of like, he did a little golf clap, nothing emotional, just he's just very steady and... I was impressed. I was really impressed with that. And as for Dwayne Haskins, I don't know if anyone agrees with me, but I agree with you. I thought that the Redskins made a mistake. Chase Young's a very good player. Any team would love to have him. But I thought if you don't have a franchise quarterback, and I don't think Dwayne Haskins is, you had the number two pick overall. I would have picked one of those three quarterbacks. And, you know, to me, it's more important to have the franchise quarterback than a very potent defensive end.
Yeah, and I can't say enough about what Ron Rivera has done and his coaching staff with improving Haskins. I mean, he was dramatically better today than he was last season. But let me just throw in my two cents on the not dressing Jalen Hurts, okay?
Yeah.
If you're the Redskins, and I'm not insulting him, he's a great guy, but if you look across the field and see Nate Sudfeld, you don't get on the headset and go, hey, wait a minute. You know, he may come in the game and we better be, you know. But if you see Jalen Hurts and Doug Peterson has no intention of using him and he says he doesn't want to be anything but a quarterback, if you're the Redskins defensive coaches and you see him dressed on the sidelines, you've got to in the back of your head go, you know, they might, you know, Haskins showed what a dual threat quarterback can do in the game. He had some nice runs. And I just don't understand. It's not using Jalen Hurts to replace Carson if he's having an even worse game than he had, and he had a pretty bad game. But it gives the defense something to think about. And that's why I was kind of perplexed with that. And don't get me into the go for it on force right now. But obviously getting healthy, as your caller, two callers ago mentioned, is key. But personnel decisions, not having backup tackles who have any starts in the NFL. And I thought my Stanford guy, Nate Herbig, played decently, but it's his first start in the NFL. How great would it have been to have Vitae in an Eagles uniform today?
It would have been helpful. He got paid too, man. He was never an elite offensive lineman. Played well in the Super Bowl in that playoff run.
Yep.
He got paid. He got like 30 million, 50 million. He got a lot of money. Good for him. They don't have depth. Jordan Mailata, seeing his first snaps, did okay. But I mean, they're just so decimated up front. And you're right, Tolly. Not a lot of depth, and they needed help today. They needed backup guys, and just couldn't hang with that front seven. I give credit to the Redskins. They played very well, but that was a mess.
It was, and I'll leave you with this thought, just to rub a little salt in all of this. Nelson Aguilar with a big
touchdown.
I know.
How about that?
You know, but remember we said that when Rager was drafted, and he had, you know, the great long pass reception, and he's possibly going to be a very decent starting receiver. But when he was drafted, there was talk about his drops in college, and he gives us the punt muff for an Aguilar 2.0, and then Hightower gives us the reception drop for an Aguilar 2.0, and he plays for a winning Raiders team today. I'll tell you, I don't want to think about the Rams defensive line coming up. Tough stuff, Joe.
They are tough, and that's going to be tough anytime they face a decent defensive line. Tyler, happy birthday, man. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy
Thank
yourself.
You.
Maybe it'll take the sting out of the mess we saw today. I know they got 15 more games, but if we're gonna see that kind of football, we're in for a long season. But always appreciate you coming on, man. Hugs and kisses to Heidi and Gabby.
Great. Thanks so much, Joe. Great show as always, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, Tyler. Thanks, man. The great Don Tollefson always has some good things to say. One of the smartest guys I know. Seriously, like a 900 IQ. I'm not kidding. I'm afraid to open my mouth around him. He's that intelligent, knows everything. He's a sponge. Love to have him on. Happy birthday again to Tolly. And he just got married, actually, two weeks ago, to the lovely Heidi. And he's doing well. Appreciate him coming on. Of course, Steve Callis and his input.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.